You're listening to Good Food on KCRW. I'm Evan Kleiman. More of us than ever have various ingredients bobbing or bubbling on our countertops as we ferment them in jars or crocks. But how did it start, and how much of our physical and cultural evolution intersects with the history of ferments? It's an interesting question and one that animates the research and teaching practice of food historian and fermentation expert, Dr. Julia Skinner. Hi, Julia.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you here. Are there stories from the past that illustrate how human beings' interaction with fermentation allowed their survival?
Yes. So, you know, there's a few different ways. I mean, one being in a very real sense, you know, our microbiome is a big part of our immune system, for example. So part of our survival comes from the fact that we evolved from these microbes. We now have them within us and they help keep us healthy. But then there's also the matter of food security. And so with food security, when we are preserving our food, when we're fermenting it and all of the other ways that we preserve it, we are helping ourselves survive through the winter, through crop failures, through whatever else kind of, you know, might be thrown at us so that we can continue to still eat.
And did fermentation also come into play just as survival from making foods fit to eat in the first place?
Yes. Yeah, so some foods do benefit from fermentation as far as making them safer for us. One that maybe we might not think of is water. Not all water sources are healthy for us. Some of them have, you know, bacteria that are actually dangerous in them. And so what a lot of people would do is they would actually ferment these rather low alcohol beers and wines and things to crowd out those dangerous microbes and make it so they could have a source of hydration that was safe to drink.
So there is food that is fermented, but the end product isn't probiotic, like chocolate and coffee. And then there is food mm-hmm. that is alive with probiotics when we eat them. Can you sort of go into that a little bit more deeply?
Yeah, so a lot of different foods we might not expect are fermented. So vanilla, for example, and you mentioned chocolate, coffee, black tea, all of these different things. And so people are, you know, having microbes, these fermentation products every day. And you may have some probiotic ones. For example, a lot of people think of, you know, yogurt. There's a lot of marketing around yogurt here in the U.S., but there's also sauerkraut and kefir and kombucha and all of these different things that also have probiotics. And what that means is that the fermentation microbes that created that food are still alive. And as opposed to something that is fermented and then processed in some way, like chocolate, so that it's, you know, cooked down or something in a way that kills those microbes, but they still have done work to contribute to the changes in flavor and texture and all of these other things. With a lot of traditional fermented foods, for example, kimchi and sauerkraut, they are both prebiotic and probiotic. And so what that means is that they have the dietary fiber that feeds our microbiome as well as the probiotic microbes themselves.
A double good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are there particular ferments that you continually make that are connected to your own family's traditions and identity?
So the first ferment that I ever made was one I made with my mom, which was Amish friendship bread. And so that was kind of, and I didn't really realize that that was fermentation at the time. And so on the off chance I ever get one of those starters, which doesn't happen very often down here, I still make that. But the one that really surprised me was actually one that I learned about while writing this book. And so it's called Sowens, and it's this fermented oat. Like, you can have it as a porridge or a drink. And it's kind of this sour oat paste. And it's made by fermenting oat hulls. And so my family, our heritage is primarily Scottish and French, largely Scottish. And so, you know, I was researching different oat fermentation techniques as I was, and different grain fermentation techniques as I was researching this book, and came across Sowens and had never heard of it before. And so, you know, as I talk about in the book, it was this really interesting moment of making this food that I had never heard of, but that somehow felt really familiar. And then when I ate it, it also, I was like, wow, this tastes familiar. I never had it before. It made me feel very connected with doing this process of cooking that my ancestors before me did, but that I wouldn't have had access to unless I had written Our Fermented Lives.
You make powders out of pickles, pickle powders.
Yes.
How do you use them and how do you make them? What are they?
So pickle powders are just anything fermented that I make that I dehydrate. You can dehydrate it and I have an actual dehydrator, but you can also dehydrate in a solar dehydrator in your oven on the lowest setting, which you dry them out completely and then you just grind them up. I use a coffee grinder, not the same one I use for my coffee, but a different one. And I will put them in there, grind them up, and then you have these seasoning blends. And it's a really good way to cut down on food waste if you make something you like the flavor of, but maybe not the texture. This is a good way to repurpose it.
Is it dehydrated at a low enough temperature to maintain the probiotic benefit?
It can be. If you have an actual dehydrator, you can dehydrate it on a low setting. And it, you know, but even if you don't preserve the probiotic benefits, it's still, you know, it's still really healthy and delicious.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That was Dr. Julia C. Skinner, author of Our Fermented Lives, a history of how fermented foods have shaped cultures and communities. We have a recipe for Sowens, the Scottish fermented oats that we talked about, on our website. That's kcrw.com/goodfood.